This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu, coming at you after a thriller, I guess, in Cameron on Saturday. So Duke beats Clemson in kind of a sloppy 72-71 game. If you haven't seen already, behind two late, maybe controversial three throws from Tyrese, we'll dive into that for sure. Duke moves to 15-4, 6-2, which puts us at second place in the ACC right now. Before we jump into the game, though, Shu, you were on press row for this one. A little bit of a different atmosphere from some of those other games. This is a kind of a marquee ACC game at home. Just kind of walk us through the process. Did it feel different coming in? Did the atmosphere, did it feel different, like from the student side, from your side, from press row side? Walk us through what that was like.
Yeah, I mean, typically I've been going to these, you know, the non-conference games that were predicted to win by 30, 40 points, you know.
Sure.
Really don't offer a lot of suspense coming into the game. This time, you know, you had a lot of Clemson fans showing up. So the opposing bench right across from me, there's a lot of Clemson fans there. And then obviously the crazies are just fired up. It's a, you know, big time conference game. And shout outs to those guys behind me. They were giving it to the Clemson people the whole time. And I was chuckling under my breath. It was pretty funny.
A little 4 p.m. tip there, a little day drunk crazies behind you. Any paint this time or still walking?
No, but shout out to the dude. I came and sit down and he told me, he was like, thanks for doing your job. It's tough. He was like giving me a back rub for a minute. Like, I was like, okay, this dude's awesome. I was like, this is the best crazy I've ever ran into. Like, feeling good. And then chatting with those guys for a minute, told them, you know, the whole thing, like, yo, I can't cheer, I can't do anything, but I gave him dap. I was like, you guys cheer extra loud for me. And
nice.
Nice. They held it down.
I guess walk me through here and we'll kind of skip. We'll come back and kind of dissect it a bit here. But just while we're talking about it, the ending, like 2.5 minutes there, the second half, what was the kind of tension like? What was the, could you feel like the energy pickup? Or I think you even mentioned offline that it was as loud as maybe you've even been in Cameron.
Yeah, I mean, so like, with the exception of the Carolina game last year for me, I mean, like,
yeah,
this one was, you know, intense down the stretch, you know, when it's going back and forth. And it got super loud, especially like I mentioned off air with that like third steal of the four steals, that sequence as soon as Proctor got the ball. I mean, it got like deafening there for a second.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool, you know, obviously shouts to Adam on that too. Hopefully he's kind of gotten over whatever it was. Get well soon, big fella. But definitely a cool moment for you, I'm sure. I think you mentioned kind of like after the game, usually like after the game, you're able to go into the locker room. Most all the guys are kind of there. I think this one you said was a little bit different, a little bit more cut off.
Yeah. I mean, the locker room access, really the only people that were kind of taking questions, McCain obviously was the star of the night, and Proctor, Mitchell was in there for a minute, but this is the most press that I've been around, because typically in the past, you know, we're playing North Dakota State, you know, whoever, they're not bringing press. Like, I'm sitting on press row, literally like the three or four guys beside me are all like Clemson press people.
Sure.
Yeah. So there was a lot more opposing press there. So the, when the locker room availability came open, I mean, it was like everybody, 10 people crowded around McCain, you know, 10 people around Proctor. And I just kind of.
Yeah. You didn't have a story to write either, right?
So there's no real pressure. I actually crept back in the media room and listened to Brownell kind of whine, bitch, and complain about
cry a little bit. Yeah.
Hope
harder, bro. All right. Well, let's jump into it a little bit. I mean, typically we don't do it like this, but since we're only doing a single game, let's just start with the first half. You know, I really liked our energy to start the game. Like, I thought we kind of came out right, and then it like really flipped on us like very quickly, and it, all of a sudden it's 10-5. But from that 10-5 point, I thought we might have played some of our best defense that we played maybe all year. I mean, Brennan Marsh, like, he tweeted that like Proctor has Gerard in like hell right now. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, he was just stifling him. I think almost all of his looks came in the second half, and even those were like off offensive rebounds or just kind of broken plays. I thought Flip's offense was just not there really all game. Really brutal stretches in the first half, but credit to him because I thought he played some incredible defense on Hall. We're going to talk about some of the free throws and some of the like comments that were made on that. I thought if you wanted to go back and maybe talk and cherry pick some foul calls, maybe you could have looked at some of those because him and PJ were kind of going at it. But issue, I'll go to you first here since you were there. Did it look that like impressive live? Was it our defense, or did you just attribute it to like, okay, you know, Clemson's just missing some shots, they're not in a rhythm? On TV, it looked like our defense was like back to being that top 15.
No, I mean, what you said about Proctor, I was kind of keyed on him, especially from my viewpoint. I mean, he's just hounding Gerard through every kind of screen and whatnot. I think Gerard might have hit like the first three of the game, and I think that's what he went into halftime with, just like 3 points. I mean, he didn't have a lot. And then obviously the physicality, when you're up that close, like you can hear the, you know, the skin
arm slaps,
slaps and everything. Like it was a lot. And you know, PJ Hall, give him credit, man. The guys, he's a warrior too. You know, him and Flip, they weren't going to back down. They were going at it. And like you said, I thought Flip's defense was incredible. It was great. I think he had like 4 blocks. That might be, I don't know if that's a career high for him, but, you know, I thought he played well on the defensive side. Obviously the offense just wasn't really there for him last night.
Yeah. Bro, thoughts on the defense? The first half defense, we'll talk about second half.
I will mention Mitchell also. Mitchell, I thought, did a great job on Shefflin. Like, Shefflin, was it last year? Shefflin went off on
us. He killed us last year, man. Yeah.
You didn't even know he was there for most of this game.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Mitchell as well. To your point, I thought Mitchell just played a great half of basketball on both ends. Yep. Just, you know, was really aggressive on offense. And then on defense, he was rebounding really well in the first half. We can get into the second half where we kind of stopped crashing the boards, I guess. Because I think Mitchell probably had 4 or 5 rebounds in the first half and then finishes with 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Flip's rim protection really impressed me in the first half there. He was able to be pretty physical and get a body on guys and rotate over without fouling. And he had that nice steal at half court too, that I think led to some points as well. But yeah, I mean, because what you said, we were down 10-5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, within however many minutes, you know, it was over a fairly long period of time, but we're up 32-20. So you can do the math on that. You know, that's what, like a 27-10 run. And a lot, I mean, the offense was really good too, but a lot of that was the defense.
The offense was probably good because the defense was so good, right? Like, even, and we can talk about this too for a second, like even Roach was like playing pretty decent defense, man, but he was clearly hurt out there, right? Like that.
Didn't have the lift on the shots.
Hobbling. And some of those shots that he makes, you could just tell that like his body wasn't responding how he wanted it to, right?
He couldn't get getting good looks.
He made that one midi, but I think he came up short or something with one or two also.
Missed a floater and missed a mid-range as well.
Before we transition to the second half, I do think we should talk about, you mentioned it being 32-20. With 2:13 left in the half, that again is something that's kind of plagued us here, is this inability to kind of take what's like take momentum and just put that team away, right? And granted, Clemson's, they're not a bad team, right? Like they're a decent team, they're a veteran team, so like maybe they have something to do with that. They're not just going to weigh down, but to be 32-20 with 2 minutes left and then to like basically not score, right? And then to be a 6-point game, so you go from 12 to 6, whereas that could have went easily from 12 to like 18, and then the game's theoretically over pretty much.
I thought it should have been more than 12 to begin with. There were like 4 possessions in a row. So Foster hit that 3 to put us up 12. But before that, if I'm remembering correctly, Flip has an and one rim out, or a potential and one. Then he misses the 2 free throws. Then on the next possession, I think Roach misses a floater. Mitchell misses a putback. That's when Flip goaltends. Then, you know, there's another possession where Foster misses like a wide open, like 10-foot shot. So we really could have been up like 36-20. And at that point, if you just kind of play even for the rest of the half, the game's over.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But instead, we go into the half only up 2 possessions.
Yeah. Shoot, for you there live, were you kind of keeping up with? I know when I watch a game live, it's just such a different viewing experience than it is when you're watching it on TV, right? It just seems to be, I don't know, I can't really put my finger on exactly what it is, but there is a difference there. Did you see anything those last 2 minutes? Was this just the typical kind of Duke closing a half there? Did anything stand out to you that we changed, that shifted?
No, I mean, honestly, when you're there in it, like a lot of part of me was like, did I make the right choice of even coming to this game? Because I've yet to come to a loss, and I just didn't. I knew this was going to be a game that, I don't remember, what was the spread? 7 points, 6.5, something like that?
7. I think 6.5. Yeah. Did it go to 7? Yeah.
Okay. I knew that it was going to be one that was going to come down to, you know, the last couple possessions. And so I was more really nervous about that. So not really focusing on little changes like that. But yeah, I mean, what you guys mentioned, the fact that we just didn't kind of put them away, they're one of those teams that you can't let them hang around, right? You can't let them hang around and get to the end, because then they have a little bit of confidence. And they don't
really make mistakes either. Right. I mean, they're not a team that turns the ball over a lot in general. You know, they're not going to beat themselves. I know we got 4 steals, but I thought that was more us playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, because they finished with 9 turnovers, right? So they had 4 in like a minute and a half or whatever it was, not even. So, you know, they had 5 turnovers for basically 38 minutes of the game, which is elite.
Yep.
And credit to us, too. I mean, we only have 7 turnovers. Yeah. Now, we've done that maybe like all year. You could really argue that we've been really good at not turning the ball over.
I was actually going to mention that. I think Sports Reference has us at 354th in the country in number of turnovers per game. So that's like pretty much dead last.
Yeah.
I don't know how many teams there are, but there's like got to be like 355, 356 or something like that.
Yeah, maybe 360.
360. No, 360. Yeah. 361. Yeah.
So obviously that doesn't adjust for pace, but even so, that's a remarkable number to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was impressive. Well, we mentioned on our last pod, though, and then we'll kind of take a break and talk about the second half, but we mentioned this was a must-win game, and it looked maybe kind of for a little bit there that it was not going to be that. Thankfully, we did find a way to pull it out, but we'll jump into the second half when we come back, because I want to talk about that defense one more time.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Well, let's come back. Let's talk about the second half. So we just mentioned, they scored 26 in the first half. What'd they do? Turn around and put, I think, 45 up in 45. The second half. It's kind of baffling that you can kind of hold a team like that. And then
a lot of that Gerard got a little loose in the second half. I won't say got loose, but I know two of the threes that he hit were off of offensive rebounds. They got offensive rebounds, kick it out, he's wide open, and we just can't get there in time.
Yeah.
We did really poorly on the boards overall in this game.
I mean, 11 offensive rebounds for them is like to our four.
And what did they out-rebound us by 9 overall, I think? I mean, obviously they missed more shots than we did because they shot poorly, but even so... I think Flip finished with 4 total rebounds. That can't happen. Jared McCain out-rebounded him.
Yeah, that's brutal. 24 minutes for Flip. We'll talk about that. Just maybe Flip has his own little segment there. I mean, he missed 6 free throws too, right? Yeah. Like it's not a great offensive day for him. But I guess if we want to talk about the positives of the second half, we get another strong performance from Tyrese Proctor, which is starting to trend up on both sides of the ball. Finally kind of getting healthy, the confidence back, the swagger's back. Him and McCain kind of won the game for us in the second half. I mean, that's what it looked like for me. I don't know if y'all want to chime in on that too, but I think McCain made like all of his twos, which is like kind of the inverse of what's been happening, right? Like he has been kind of shaky on that end and making the three. I mean, he was hitting threes too. And obviously he gets the steals at the end to kind of, there's three straight basically to kind of seal it. I don't know. I mean, what was it like for you there? Wow, shoot, it looked like our backcourt really just kind of sucked theirs up. I mean, you mentioned Gerard getting loose, but for the most part, I thought we really just won that matchup.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't really see much from, Hunter or, Hunter, Wiggin. I mean, Wiggins didn't really give him much. Hunter, I guess, finished with 11. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, the second half, Drawer got loose a couple times. And PJ stepped up and had a little bit better second half. And that's probably partly because Flip got into foul trouble and was out for a good portion of it. I think Flip went with his fourth foul with like 12 minutes left.
Yeah. And Young's minutes were not great.
Yeah.
What did he finish? -7 there. Yeah, so I can remember. Minus, I remember Hall scoring several times on him.
Yeah, poor Ryan, man. Like he comes in and just it feels like he just gets splashed on immediately, right? Like whether he tries to drop or whether he tries to come out, it just doesn't seem to matter.
I was telling you off air that I was rewatching the end there and the announcer goes, oh, they're subbing Ryan Young in for defense. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And then immediately Gerard hits a baseline jumper on him. Yeah. And on the next possession, he fouls PJ Hall. So 4 straight points within like 20 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal. I also didn't realize he checked into the game for a little bit. The Jack Clark kid, I was like, oh, he's from NC State. Clemson now, right? He just played at State last year. So.
Yeah, in conference transfers are weird, man.
The portal's always like fine with me, but I'll never get used to like the in conference transfers. That part's kind of weird. Even seeing Gerard play, maybe because it was orange and orange again. Maybe there wasn't as much of a thing, but still a little bit weird there. I want to go straight to kind of the final sequence there. Is there anything kind of to talk about during that middle portion? I mean, it was back and forth for a little bit. Clemson went on a run. You mentioned the foul trouble from Flip.
Does this final sequence that you're talking about encompass the three that Proctor hit from JJ range? I mean, it was right in front of
John. Because he was like, I was telling him, you got time. And he
was like 5 seconds on the shot.
Good shot. Yeah.
But believe it or not, that was with like 6 minutes left or something crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it really stretched out.
That put us up like one. I think we were down two or something.
That put us up two.
60. Yeah. Put us up two.
Yeah. 59 to 57, I think.
That's
was
right.
After
59
after
the 57. Three. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
I was going to ask you guys, though, just your opinions on what went wrong with the defense in the middle there. Was it just flips, foul trouble? Was it, just effort? What was it there? I know Mitchell missed some rotations. He did not look nearly as impactful on defense as he did in the first half. Obviously, I mentioned the rebounding already. I don't know. I saw some defensive breakdowns. I don't know what you guys were seeing there. There was like a couple things. There's one that sticks out of my mind where the roller was able to just kind of roll uncontested to the basket. I can't even remember. It was probably Hall.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to me, again, it's just, We have some critiques about the guy, but the non-flip minutes are just so bad, man. You know, like when you have to put Young at the five there, or even if you bring in a Sean Stewart, I kind of like using that like Mitchell Stewart flip kind of trio, because you can kind of hide it a little bit. You can kind of bring him along and just let him cause havoc in the ways that he can.
But there, down the stretch, when Flip came back in, I noticed we put Flip on Shefflin and Mitchell was guarding Hall.
Yeah.
Once he came back in with that fourth foul, just, you know, because Shefflin wasn't really as being the aggressor that PJ was, I guess.
No, he was more of like a hub, right? Yeah. Like he was kind of like looking to like high low or to like redirect. I thought he did a good job with that. He had four assists. But even then, like Hall might
be a little too big for Mitchell. I don't know. What do you guys think?
He's pretty big dude. I mean, he's 6'10", 240. Dude. Yeah. He's a big boy. He's a senior too, right? But even then, he's 3 of 10 from two.
Yeah.
You know, like it was just, we sent him to the line and he knocks down all of his free throws. Yeah. He had those two big threes that just were butter too, man. Like they didn't touch anything.
I'm glad you brought up the Mitchell Stewart flip minutes, because I was really liking those in the first half. And I think we should try that more often. I know it's ironic because we complained in the offseason, like we don't want to see Mitchell at the three again, but for me, if Stewart is going to be out there, I like that variation, because just like digging into the numbers from like evanmia.com, he has like two-man, three-man lineups and all that. All the lineups that involve like Stewart without Mitchell are just pretty awful, especially the ones that involve some of our weaker defenders like Foster or McCain. Those lineups are just bleeding points. So I think you can get Stewart some reps and insulate him and get us more size on the court by putting those three guys out there together.
Yeah.
And Mitchell and Flip are good enough defensively to kind of help him out.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, he can give you some rebounding and, you know, that lob threat in theory.
Yeah. And all three of those guys can really guard kind of either post position, right?
And you can switch.
Yeah. Especially like Mitchell and Stewart can kind of like got the foot speed on the perimeter in theory to stay with that. So I did like that. I mean, yeah, you know, we get in foul trouble too. Well, Flip gets in foul trouble, so that has an impact. I don't know if it's so much about the defense too, or just we give them so many offensive rebounds, man. That's such a killer when you play good defense and then it's like an offensive rebound to an open three-point shooter. And it felt like there for a segment, like every loose ball was either getting kicked to them or rolled to them, or just like we would make a play on it and it gets tapped over to them, and they just had momentum, right? Like they were just kind of digging in. I don't know, Shu, was there anything live there that looked like just fell apart for us, or was it just?
No, I think like we mentioned, the rebound and the offensive rebound and like just not being able to end the possessions. And then, you know, you're scrambling around and they're getting wide open threes, or, you know, Hall's picking. I know they had how many points in the paint there down at the end where we just got, you know, kind of somebody switched where, you know, Shefflin with Foster on him or something. Else he's got to do is, you know, go up over him and score easily. I know that happened like two or three times down in the paint there the final couple minutes.
Yeah, and honestly, man, like they got pretty decent like contribution from a lot of guys, right? Like you have PJ at 19, but then, you know, Hunter's 11, George 13. They got 6, 2, 3, 6, 7, 4 down. So they were getting meaningful kind of contributions from pretty much all of their guys that play. You know, we can't really say the same, but I think part of that is just because Roach was clearly just hurt, right? Like he's 1 for 8 in this game. That's just not who he's been really for 2 years now. So you know, for us, I think the big main thing is just getting him healthy, you know, and he's out of there too, like the defense, which is really weird because I wouldn't have said 2 years ago or anything that like we need Roach on the floor to kind of like sustain our defense, but he's been that for us. He doesn't get lost. He doesn't really make mistakes. I think there's just maybe something to be said for that too.
Well, I think Rush Hainline was saying that on the last pod that like by the numbers, he's been our most impactful perimeter defender. And then after him is Proctor, of course. But yeah, so him and Mitchell have been huge for our defense overall. So having them kind of in and out of the lineup or not at full health, I think has really hurt us.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get to the good stuff here. Let's get to that kind of final minute and a half, 2 minutes. Shoe, what's the air in the building like? Because I think it's what it's we're down
69-65.
Yeah.
I mean 69-65. About 2 minutes left. I remember Flip goes to the line, misses a pair of free throws. It's the second pair that he's missed in the last, you know, the final 6 minutes. But McCain gets that kind of in a, I think Scheffler gets the rebound. And he's on the baseline kind of doing a handoff to Hunter or Beadle or something. McCain just kind of pops in there and snags it from him, you know. I don't think we ended up getting any points out of that. Though no. We got it to Flip. I think we missed that. So
yeah, he missed the rim.
Yeah, so, you know, they come back down. It's still a four-point game. That's when McCain jumps the passing lane, gets the layup, cuts it to two. The place is going eight. You know, it's going crazy.
We got a chance, yeah.
You come back down. Gerard tries to make an entry pass to Scheffler. That's when Mitchell kind of swims around him, knocks it away. McCain's also digging down, causes Scheffler to bobble it. Again, Proctor gets it in that place. That's when I was mentioning the place. Just, it's going bananas. It's the loudest it's been this year since I was been in a game. And then is that when we would have called the timeout and ran that play for Flip to actually you said maybe
let's pause there, right? And like, okay, so Flip's our guy, right? Like he's clearly John's guy. Like we knows that he's gonna have a lot of trust in him. But McCain and Proctor had really been carrying us that half. We really were able to kind of get to where we wanted to get against their guards. Obviously, in hindsight now, you say that you call that play 100 times out of 100 because it worked and we got an and-one and took the lead. But at that moment, you know, Ro, let me go to you first with this, too, because I know you got some thoughts on it, too. What did you make of that kind of decision to just ISO Flip at the top of the key and tell him to go make a play?
Well, you know, I'm sure I've said it on 5 or 10 podcasts by now, but I'm not the biggest fan of the Flip-centric offense, especially kind of like starting out there from the left wing. He's pretty far out too. You know, the play that Shu mentioned before that when he missed the free throws, I liked that play because it was a nice quick action. But this is just like very static and predictable, and he does his classic spin move. You know, nearly travels. He didn't, you know, on the replay it showed he did, but it's a very clumsy move. And then he manages to throw up this shot that somehow goes in. It doesn't hit backboard or anything. It's like a curveball floater that goes in. Yeah. I just don't think that was necessarily like the highest percentage shot. I also like.
And with his left hand, it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, why is he splitting it to his left hand? But
also, the best case scenario there is you tie. Like, for me, I would have gone for the lead. I would have drawn up something to get a three, because in that scenario, you want to increase your odds of winning the game. And I think being up one is going to do that more than being tied. Now, fortunately, we did go up one anyway because he got fouled. But I don't think the play was drawn up to get an and one.
Right. Yeah, right.
I mean, especially when you got Proctor and McCain out there who are combined like 7 of 13.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So, like, you're drawing the play for the guy that's got 6 points at the moment. And, you know, McCain's at 21. I think Proctor finished with 18. So he had 16 at that moment, you know. And you're like, well, we'll go with, look, it worked out.
Yeah.
I mean, you could draw it for, you know, I'm not saying Flip can't be involved in the action, but maybe he's like in the short roll to make a pass
one of the shooters to McCain or Foster in the corner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then if they don't close on the lane, then he can just take the shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think we'll be a better team in the long run if we sort of shift a little bit of the burden over to our guards. Because right now I feel like the default on any given possession when we don't know what to do is just flip on the left block, flip on the right block. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, it's very static. We've talked about it. Like there's just not enough movement off the ball. Like and some of the spacing is really bad too, when, you know, because you're going to have Mitchell out there as well. I took a screenshot of one possession where flips on the right block. Jeremy Roach is on the right wing. Mitchell's kind of on the left wing and Proctor's on the left wing and they're like 5 feet apart. Proctor needs to be in the corner.
Yeah.
Or Mitchell needs to be in the corner where he's actually a threat to maybe make a three.
Sure.
And then Stewart's on the floor there too. And he's in the dunker spot. So it's like, what is Flip going to do here? Why are we using your personnel that way? Why doesn't Flip come out to the top, set a screen, and then Flip pops? And then the guard's going down the lane with Stewart as a lob threat or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course, the result of that play that I took the screenshot of was a Flip charge. It was in the first half there. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah. Right. Great. Yep. Which is weird too, because like you said, like there is Flip offense that's unstoppable, yeah. Right? Like those Roach or Proctor, like pick and rolls were Flip, where he's kind of this short roll creator, yeah. Where we just kind of give him the pocket pass. You got Mitchell either right cutting in or just in the dunker spot, and then McCain in the corner is almost unguardable. Yeah. Now, like we can miss the shot, like McCain can miss the three or like whatever can happen, but it's almost impossible to just stop all of that from happening. But again, like you said, it's when we get into those like, okay, he's on the block, the double's not coming. So it's not like McCain's just wide open for the kick out, right? And so when the double doesn't come, that's when it really just starts to stagnate, right? Because as soon as he goes to lower or as soon as he goes to spin, boom, there's three guys.
Yep.
And then we can't do anything. You know, we can continue to kind of like track that, I think, but I just think he's too good of a passer too, to not get him more just kind of moving and catching and looking to kind of either make the pass or go to the rim. I mean, you know, Flip has a 59 offensive rating, which was tied for Jeremy Roach for the lowest on the team. And Roach goes 1-for-8 with a bum ankle and knee, you know, so not the best game there. But again, I thought his defense was really good for most of the game.
And the free throws may just be fatigue. I know he is really tired in the first half.
Yeah, he was visibly winded there.
Yeah,
for
we
a
got
while.
To the TV timeout at one point. I was like, well, we got to get a timeout. These guys are, I mean, you can see he's just walking up.
The announcer's talking about it too. Like, yeah, you're like, okay. Dude, these guys are straight up gassed.
I mean, but, you know, there's going to be, he finished like 5 of 11 from the free throw line or something like mm-hmm. that.
Yep.
There's going to be plenty of games where he goes 8 of 11. And then, you know, like we easily could have won this game by 6 or 7 points if we just make more free throws. So that's a silver lining, I guess.
Sure, sure. And speaking of, like a lot of back and forth on the Twitterverse there about the foul calls, right, and all of that stuff. You know, I mean, on one hand, like Flip gets the one on Shefflin. That was fine, right? I thought that was a foul. But it's not like it was just like one sided, right? Like PJ was just allowed to come back down. Yeah. And not only did they say, oh, you only get that call on Cameron for the Proctor free throws, but that's Flip's 5th foul game on the line, right? Had just made the and one to take it. That pretty
that,
much
that
sends
was weak,
PJ at
man.
The line.
That was weak. I know he reached in, but I thought he got like primarily ball there.
Right. And to me, it's
and it
like
wasn't they, bodied him like because he felt backwards, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, well, and the argument was like, oh, well, Proctor initiated contact. You don't think PJ initiated that contact on Flip? Like what?
Yeah.
Every post move is the offensive player initiating contact.
Well,
so I don't
that's not,
really
that's not where
that,
they blew the whistle anyway for the Proctor one. They didn't blow the whistle on the first bump. They blew it on the second bump.
On air. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that one was like clearly him hitting him on the arm. Now, if you wanted to say Proctor pushed off on the first one.
Sure.
Like maybe you could argue that. That's not what the argument people were making. They were just saying the second one shouldn't have been called.
Yeah, my biggest thing was the defender. I think it was Beadle, right? That was who was guarding him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he jumped.
And Seth Davis said that. Like, he jumped from A to B. It wasn't straight up.
If you would have stayed on the floor, like, they'll let you kind of, you know, chest up to somebody and kind of body him a little bit. But, I mean, the second he jumped, like, dude, you're in the air with him now. And, again, I think who was it that said whatever said, you know, from A to B? I mean, you've got to let a shooter land, and he pretty much crowded up under Proctor as he was shooting a jump shot. So, I mean, any way you look at it.
Well, his arm was just like right against his arm too. Yeah, so to me, that's
it's a fair foul.
I didn't see how that one was debatable. I think you could make more of a case for the flip and one. It was a foul because the guy brings his arms down, but it was a pretty light foul.
Yeah.
And then another, the other thing I saw on social media was people were, this wasn't as big a gripe, but the final toss, which, yeah, that was actually a nice heave considering they didn't have a timeout. But, you know, because who was it? Better than the two or three we've tried this year.
Gerard's the one that threw it.
I mean, right. I mean, he threw a bullet down there to him.
Mitchell's
allowed to go for the ball too, right? It's not like PJ had caught it, and then he's there to
That ball's a free for all. Like, there's no possession on that.
And so I think Mark touched it first. Maybe,
yes, exactly.
Right? Like, he catches it.
If you touch it first, and typically, if there is going to be a foul, it's on whoever did
the
touch
second
it first.
Person, right? Yeah, exactly.
What I saw was it was Hall that was trying to catch it, right?
Yeah.
So what I saw was that Hall's like, you know, kind of pedaling backwards to trying to catch it. Mark is just kind of jumping straight up.
Yep.
Hall just barrels into him. Like, to me,
that's
a Clemson foul, if anything. I think you don't call anything there because it's not clear who initiated contact. But at the same time, I don't see why Hall would get the call for that when he just ran over Mitchell.
Yeah, you don't, especially when, again, it's the ball's, there's no possession to it. It's a free for all. It's whoever gets to it first. Right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's just annoying because it's like there were plenty of bad calls you could single out throughout the game, you know, on both sides. If you want to say that technical at the end of the first half or whatever was weak.
I thought that was a weak technical.
That was a kind of a weak technical. Yeah.
But I thought there was plenty of times that Mark was getting hit on some putbacks in the second half that weren't getting called. So.
But the reality is, though, if that play from Proctor, right, if that gets called at any other point in the game, Nobody cares.
Yeah.
No one even talks about it. No one says like, oh, dude gets all the calls, right? It's just because it was right there at 7-4.
It's what Ben Taylor calls end game bias.
Right. Where certain possessions get inflated for their importance, right?
Right.
When it's clearly across the whole game, it's just another possession.
Right.
Now, I get it. Now, if you want to say that the old school diehards of like he didn't earn that, sure, I didn't think it was a good call, like a good like setup, right? You're just like, hey, Proctor, go try to create something off the bounce, which
going
is not your strong
guys,
suit,
right?
Yeah, him beating people off the dribble is not really what he's...
I'm frankly surprised he didn't
turn
it
over
pocket pick
when he went behind his back.
I thought that was not a good dribble.
Yeah, I thought it was going to. So you know, you take it, we get
Flash
a little bit of a break
Jason
there.
Tatum.
Yeah,
you know, go behind your back and get stolen.
I was just glad that we finally won one of these kind of close kind of games, right? Because this team over the last 2 years had really kind of struggled. We're like, we're up against Arizona, right? We had a chance again. We're up against Georgia Tech. Like, you can go back and back and back, and things have fallen apart for us late. And for that to finally kind of go our way was nice. But
one thing I will say is that I felt like we were pretty composed like the entire time there, even when we're down four.
That's a good
point.
Didn't
look like we were like rushing or like panicking or anything like that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I'll say, you know, again, like there's been, you know, some criticism of Shire and like, you know, and rightly so, maybe to an extent you return all these guys and we're kind of on track for what, a 5 seed or whatever. But there were times last year, there were games like this too, where like the season easily could have gone off the rails. And we've so far at least managed to win those like critical games that kept everything kind of like on track. And I thought this game was one of them where if you lose this, then you're going up to Virginia Tech and you're going to UNC. Things get pretty bad pretty quickly. So this game to me was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've lost 4 games by a combined 18 points.
Yeah.
None of our games are more than 2 possessions.
Yeah.
So
I think that's something
last year,
you've talked about. Yeah. Right. In the preseason, Smitty was like, I just don't want to see blown out.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got blown out a lot last year, right? A lot for like what we're typically used to.
Right. So you realize we're setting ourselves up for a blowout on Monday.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good, nice segue there. Let's talk about Virginia Tech, right? So this is a team that's top 50. Well, they're 52nd in KenPom. They're right there. Blacksburg has been notoriously just awful for us to play in. We're like, nice point here on the outline, 1-5 in our last 6 appearances there. VT has kind of been a little up and down this year, but they got a great win over Iowa State on a neutral back in November. They're coming off a 3-game winning streak, and you can you know, obviously the conference isn't what it has been, but it's still NC State, Boston College, Georgia Tech. They just beat the brakes off of Georgia Tech up there. Short turnaround for us, traveling to, got some injury health coming up. KenPom still likes us by 2 in this matchup. We can talk about that kind of briefly here. Before I just roundtable right quick, though, they are second in the conference in three-point percentage, first in two-point percentage, and free throw percentage. So that's not super great there, right? It seems like we might could be due to just get lit up from three if we're not careful. Obviously, Couture and Padula are still there, your household names. They got this sophomore big kid, Wynn Kid, who's been pretty solid for them. I'd forgotten about Tyler Nickel. He's there as well. I think we briefly recruited him for a little bit, right? Did we recruit Tyler Nickel?
Yeah.
I want to say we did. Maybe we did. I know we went to Carolina, but I want to say maybe we flirted with that or at least kicked the tires. But, you know, whatever. Either way, it's hell up there in Blacksburg for Duke, right? Like, it's just notoriously been that way. Curious to see if we're going to wear the black jerseys in this one or not. But and we keep having to go there in an unbalanced ACC slate where we've played 7 of the last 8 years in Blacksburg just seems kind of ridiculous to me. But either way, let's roundtable it right quick. Raul, what is your kind of expectations or thoughts just heading into this game? Seems like a trap. Seems like a short turnaround. What are you feeling on this? These next two are brutal.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to circle any game in the season as like a loss, this would be like one of them, simply because of the short turnaround and then it being before Carolina too. Like, I feel like we're always in danger of losing the game before the UNC game. And then obviously you mentioned that Blacksburg being a tough place to play. And I just think the matchup too, especially with how we've been struggling on defense lately, just having a team that's just so elite at shooting and really, you know, from everywhere, that does worry me. And they've got good guard play. I was kind of wondering what you guys thought of. I think we should sit Roach, get him ready for Carolina. I would rather 100%. Have a 100% healthy Roach. Maybe it's not possible to give him 100% in a week, but
at least 85-90%.
Maybe then like 50% in 2 games. You know what I mean? And I also think your chances of worsening the injury playing just like 2 days later after you were already hobbled are just higher.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason NBA players, when they're, you know, their health is questionable, they don't play back-to-backs. And this is almost a back-to-back. Essentially, it is because of the travel and all that. So to me, I would just let him sit and like not practice all week.
Yeah.
And get him as good.
No question for me. No question for me. To not,
because he wasn't even effective anyway. So,
right. And I want like to not be able to get like the, I know this isn't like a huge marquee matchup, but for me, like I really want to see the Roach RJ matchup at Carolina, right? Like I just want to see those guys go at it. They've both been incredible this year. RJ's usage and what he's being asked to do a little bit more. So his raw stats are there, but Jeremy's advanced numbers are right there neck and neck with him. He's more efficient than RJ. Well, that might have dipped after going 1-for-8. We'll see how that inflates the numbers at all. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd sit Roach and just because we could play him and lose anyway, right? Or you know, it's, I don't know. What do you think? You down for sitting Roach? Or at this point, on the flip side of that, I guess the argument is like, man, we can't really afford to drop games either. So I don't know. Where are you at with it?
Yeah, but I mean, I think like Raul said, going into this season, this is one of the games that I kind of penciled as a
how you circle it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the drawback is I didn't have the at Georgia Tech or the home loss to Pitt. So you kind of lost that buffer with that. But I think I'm with you guys. Like, I'm surprised we played him at all in the Clemson game.
I think that was on him from what Shire was saying, it seemed like.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, kudos to Jeremy. He's been a warrior for us this year. I mean, he's been incredible. So, I you know, if you're going to play, though, I need you to be 100%, you know, because if you're going to be out there, you got to – there's no easy possessions in these games. You got to – you know, every possession matters. So, I don't know Virginia Tech's real. I haven't watched them play a lot, so I don't know a lot about their lineup makeup. But I'm assuming like Blake's didn't play at all last game. I mean, you know, he's going to be fresh. He can throw in a couple minutes. Stewart's still, you know, working his way into it and didn't have a the best showing in the Clemson game, but, you know, at least he's getting his reps.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to sound really weird, and I'm probably going to eat my words for this. This could be a game where Ryan Young can really help us, I think. It's very matchup dependent, but I think he can match up with Lynn Kidd. I just do. The guy hasn't shot a single three all year, right? He's that kind of just stay in the paint. You know, now the other kid, the Robbie Byrne, I think, or B-Ran, is the other guy that they kind of put beside him. He will shoot some threes. He's 34% on the year. So you can't switch, though. If you do that, you have to just have Ryan and drop, and he has to stick with Kidd because, I mean, Padua, Couture, MJ Collins, those guys are going to come off. And if he's down, like, you already know Couture is just going to – he's going to let him fly, right? Oh, that's what he does against us. He's 43% from three this year on 112 attempts. Padua is at 39% on 97 attempts. They're going to get him up. But really, those are the only two guys that are really getting – I mean, Nicholas shot 88 threes for them this year. So, like, he's getting a few up. But it's those two guys that are going to – and that's where you really wish you had Roach, because then you got Proctor and Roach to kind of be on those two, which really can help you out.
But I don't mind the Ryan Young thing as long as we can rebound, because that's what's been killing us, is not being able to end the possessions again and giving up those kind of wide open threes.
And it's another game for the lineup that we like, the Mitchell Stewart flip lineup. I think that could be really effective with two guards out there with them. This is going to sound, I do think it's one of those circled kind of games on the schedule, but at the same time, just the way that our schedule is broken and the way things have went, I kind of think we go up there and get a win. Is that kind of outlandish to think anyone else picking us to win between us? I mean, like I said, KenPom's got us 75-73. I'll say Roach doesn't play and we win. I'll say we cover. I'll say we win by three. What you guys, you taking us? Mr. Optimistic 40-0?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about, you know, if we control Padula and Couture, then yeah, I would say, but man, I've seen Couture light us up for 30 something. I don't think Padula's done much against us in the past, and knock on wood, I hope he doesn't do anything, you know, in this game. So I'll take us in this one.
Okay. Bro,
you guys always paint me into picking the loss. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I just think that the circumstances are kind of stacked against us here a little bit. And I've seen better Duke defensive teams in this one get lit up by Virginia Tech spacing, especially up there. So I don't think it'll be a blowout. I just don't know that, you know, as good as Virginia Tech's offense is, I don't know that they're, you know, they're not like a 90 point per game kind of team. So,
right.
You know, give me like a 4 point loss, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. And I will say too, like, if Duke loses this game, it's not really going to do anything to me in terms of like really how I feel, right? It's a short turnaround. We're trying to get healthy. I'm saying that Roach isn't going to play. So there's really no reason why to pick Duke other than just.
It's quad one if we win too, right? Or is it maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's quad one.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a terrible loss if it happened.
Right. No, that's fine. I mean, you lose on the road at Blasberg. I mean, we've done it for 7 years in a row, right? Right. So it's.
You just can't be dropping the quad three games.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay, so we got two. Shoot, I'm sorry, I was not paying attention. You also predicted us to win, right? On the record,
I did take us to win. What do you have the spread as? Two and a half.
Yeah, he's got it 75-73.
So it's probably 2.5. Yeah. Yeah, it's gonna be a tight one. I don't know if. 3 point win. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what I'm thinking, I'm banking on is just the continued just streak that Proctor's on. Because if he's awesome and Flip just gets back to like what he has been doing and marks what Mark is, I think we could do it, right? Like, why not?
Yeah. And I can't see Flip having a bad offensive game like he just had back-to-back. I think he's going to, you know.
Yeah, to me, like, this is a game and a matchup where he should – do a little bit better. You know, Clemson had better size than they do. So I think Flip's going to have a bounce back game, you know, whether that results in a win, who knows, but
yeah, we'll see. They assist on a lot of their baskets, yeah. Right? So like that's something
that makes me nervous.
The defense really has to be crisp. It really has to be sharp. It's, kind of hard to do that. Maybe we can get some momentum coming off that Clemson win to win it like that. Maybe you do. Maybe my optimism for this game is just trying to protect against an 0-2 road trip this week, which, you know, that wouldn't be ideal. But I don't want to talk about Carolina yet. We'll come back probably Monday or Tuesday night, and we'll kind of do a bigger Carolina preview for that one. It deserves its own pod. So I guess we can wrap it there. Anything else from VT that we need to hit on, or is that somehow Padua is only a junior? Feels like he should be like a ninth year senior.
Yeah, I feel like he's been there forever.
Yeah.
Couture too, but he has been, I guess.
Yeah, Couture is actually ancient.
So, what do you got? Ryan Young, 75-foot heave for the win.
Ooh. I was thinking maybe TJ, you know, only shot he makes all game. Yeah. He gets in.
Yeah, old TJ, man. We haven't talked about him much. We'll have to save him for
I was hoping to see him here once or twice, but
It is nice that Stewart's playing like a little bit more and a little bit earlier. Maybe not even a little bit more, but I like the fact that he's playing in the first half for extended stretches. To me, that says more than the total number of minutes.
Yeah, for sure. He's kind of taken what TJ was, the opportunity TJ had for a little while there, seems to have gravitated more towards Sean. So we'll also see how that continues to track. But, you know, in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. Obviously, you can find us at the usual places. And for some of y'all, the unusual places, you can find us on the board at thedevilsden.com. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on X/Twitter @devilsdenpod247. And keep the faces strong and the verb high. Go Duke.